Hello, everyone. We are back with this week's First in Tech podcast. I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm the guest for this week's episode, assistant sports editor Nick Sinopoli. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Oh, it's great to have you back on, Nick. Unfortunately, we don't have a great thing to start talking about today.
Yeah, of course. While we have to somewhat be unbiased, yeah, you hate to see the Wolfpack lose a heartbreaker to the Clemson Tigers this past weekend.
Yeah, and it really is, you know, people kind of talked about coming out of Notre Dame. Well, you know, you lost this, but Notre Dame's still a great team. All you really lost is that college football playoff pipe dream. You still got a lot on the table. Now you lost the big one. Now, don't get me wrong. Clemson's a great opponent, top five. National championship last year, likely college football playoff team against this year. No shame in losing to them, but in a heart, you know, a close one, a nail biter, heartbreaker, and NC State likely, unless Florida State can pull off a big upset on the road this week against Clemson, loses their shot at the ACC title game. This is definitely a tough one to swallow for Dave Doran and the Wolfpack.
Yeah, and for NC State, it's all but over in terms of that ACC title hope. You know, of course, there is that there is hope for them. You know, of course, they're going to be cheering big for Florida State this weekend as they take on Clemson. And, you know, earlier in the year, if State was at this point, I'd say, hey, Florida State's got a chance. But Florida State, of course, without DeAndre Francois, it's going to be a totally different game. I really have a hard time seeing Clemson win that one. But for NC State, they're still taking the positives out of this season. At first, it was, okay, let's play for a college football playoff. Then, you know, they lose to Notre Dame. Then he said, okay, let's play for the ACC title. Now, Dave Doran is trying to round up his guys and say, hey, we can still get a 10-win season, including a bowl game, and that would only be the second time in program history that feat has occurred.
Yeah, definitely still a lot to play for this Wolfpack team. Again, not everything they wanted, everything they hoped for, but again, you're losing to teams like Notre Dame and Clemson that are top programs, perennial contenders, and in the case of Clemson, you went toe-to-toe to them, had a chance to win. I mean, Clemson never kneeled the ball out or anything. That game ends with a pick from Ryan Finley, who, when we go back and look at that game, Finley did have a pretty good game. He went 31 for 50, 338 yards, three touchdowns, especially in the first half. He was moving the ball really well. He completed, what was it, I think his first 14 passes?
Yeah, he was 14-14.
In that game, he does throw two picks, including a costly one in the fourth quarter, NC State having a chance to tie up the game at the start of that drive. Clemson gets the ball back off the pick and scores. Now, interception wasn't totally his fault. Jacoby Myers cut the wrong way. It's just one of those plays that kind of happens. And again, Nick, do you remember the days when receivers were a weak spot for NC State football? It's getting harder, but I think I do.
Yeah, NC State is a grounded pound team. They like to run against you and out-muscle you. But you're seeing the changing of tides here with Finley having, I mean, the big-bodied guys on the outside and Kelvin Harmon and Steph Lewis. But let's talk about Jacoby Myers. That guy has played—he has exceeded everyone's expectations this year. He's got two 100-yard games, and he's the second-leading wide receiver, second-leading wide receiver among the wide receivers, excluding Jalen Samuels, and no one was expecting that. I think he's becoming that guy that Finley looks to on third down, and he's being the clutch guy. So, I mean, Harmon, Lewis, Myers, J-Sam, that's one heck of a wide receiving core. I'd say it's probably the best in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen what Harmon's been doing this year, and it's just incredible the way he can go up for those big catches over defenders. He's got size, toughness, route running ability, hands. I mean, the first score of the game for NC State is that bomb 40-yard play over the middle to Harmon, and the game couldn't have started much better. You get a pick, and then you get that play. He would have had another long touchdown if Finley doesn't overthrow him on that play in the third quarter, probably.
Mm. Yeah, you know Finley's kicking himself for that one.
Yeah, probably a different outcome if Finley hits that, because the Wolfpack goes up 11 at that point. But, you know, again, it's Clemson is a team that you have to make those plays against, and if you don't, and State did miss a couple plays, they're going to find a way to beat you, and that is what happened in this one.
Yeah, and that's how we're, you know, transitioning into just really the emotions following that game after the loss. And a lot of people like to blame the referees, and I don't think that – I think in a game the refs are never going to cost you games. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. And I think that there were some questionable calls on both sides, and I would say that it was an inconsistently called game. But in the end, NC State didn't make the plays and Clemson did, and that's the reason the Pack lost.
Yeah, I think a lot of that frustration for NC State kind of stems from the fact that the week before, Notre Dame was being really aggressive in pass coverage against the Pack, making some plays in pass coverage that you thought maybe were could be pass interference aren't getting called. State kind of came out and played that same way against Clemson, gets a ton of pass interference calls against them, some justified, some not. I think the biggest, you know, play that hurt the Pack was the what really should have been pass interference on Clemson against Steph Lewis there at the end of the first half before Carson Wise misses the field goal. If you call that, Pack probably gets a touchdown there, goes up two scores. But here is my take on talking about officials. Unless you can tell me that your team played a 100% perfect game, didn't make any mistakes, didn't throw picks, didn't totally disappear in the third quarter, didn't get out converted by 20% on third down, you cannot tell me that the officials cost your team the game.
Yeah, and what a kind of little inside scoop here, I was listening to 99 The Fan, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, on my way to Holly Springs, driving in the car, and Jeff Gravely was on the show talking to Adam Gold and Joe Ovius about the, of course, the game on Saturday. And Gravely was sitting next to Carl Hess, of course, the famous guy for NC State, Mr. Giving Him the Business.
Carl Hess.
Mr. Giving Him the Business guy. And, of course, he's retired now, and he was up there kind of like, Gravely was describing how Carl Hess watches the game. And really, for the most part, he's critiquing the referees and seeing how does their game work? Like, what calls are they missing? How are they doing their job? Because, of course, he was a referee. So he's looking exactly what he used to do. And against, I remember listening, and he was specifically talking about that Jacoby Myers call that was overturned. And he was saying that from what you could see, what the public could see and the fans in the stands could see, is that there was nothing to overturn that and make it an incomplete pass. Now, what Hess also reminded him is that also in the booth when they're looking at the replays, that there is one angle that the public does not see and it's only available to the referees. So there must have been something from that specific angle that it's only able to the officials that was worthy enough to reverse that call. But in Carl Hess's opinion, his professional opinion as a referee for the ACC, seeing all the stuff from the public said there's no way you can overturn that call. So I would think that Jacoby Myers call, and of course that Steph Lewis one you mentioned in the end of the first half, those are two defining flags or no flags for an NC State Wolfpack. But other than that, I don't think that necessarily decides the outcome of the game.
No, again, like I said, it's very rare, unless it's like a play that ends the game where the referee literally makes the wrong call. But those are rare, few and far between.
And you mentioned the one to end the game and saying that that's the only time where it's bad. And everyone was throwing water bottles, throwing beer cans, whatever the heck it was, at the officials after the game, and the officials and the fans were just wrong in that aspect. Yes, it really stinks that at the end of that game results in time running off the clock after Jacoby Myers makes an incredible fourth down catch to move the Pack to the 2-yard line within scoring position, and then time runs off the clock because of an illegal shift, and Finley throws a pick, and it's game over. It kinda, that really stinks.
And
but it
was an illegal shift, though. That was the correct call.
Yeah, and I mean that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, well, I think the fans' behavior is unacceptable in that instance, but those fans, this team, Dave Doran, you have to find a way to move on from an emotional game like that. You know, the Pack has talked about all year about their 24-hour rule, not letting a game beat you twice like the heartbreaker to Clemson did last year. This is where you have to make good on that. I think this game, this week, this is the game that you need to win to prove that you've taken that step as a program. It is a winnable game against a better-than-normal Boston College team, but one that you are better than. You should beat. This is a game you have to get your guys up for. You can't come out flat. You have to get over that emotionally draining loss. This, in my opinion, is where Dave Doran earns his money.
And I wholeheartedly agree. And I know we usually agree, Andrew, and I like to disagree with you just to make some more interesting conversation, but I'd really totally agree with you 100% that, in my opinion, I think this is Dave Doran's toughest game for him to coach this entire year. One, because Boston College is no layup. And you might say, well, no one would know that better than Dave Doran, because the Eagles came to Carter-Finley last year and took it to the Pack, and they lost. The Pack lost to the Eagles last year.
They did not play NC State did not play well in that game either.
It was probably the worst game, I think, second to the Miami game last year.
Maybe East Carolina, because that was
East Carolina
bad
was
loss.
Bad. Louisville, you know, you got to just count your blessings there, because Lamar Jackson was going to be, you know, of course, the Heisman last year. But definitely one of the worst performances I've ever seen from the Pack last year against Boston College, and it's no layup coming this upcoming week. And you mentioned this is put your money where your mouth is these next three games, because I think UNC is an easy win, even though that's going to be their bowl game. And when it comes to Carter-Finley, that's going to be one I think the Pack's going to handle, and it's going to take care of business. Of course, this week against Boston College, that's at Boston College up north, 12 p.m. kickoff. And remember, this is a team that defeated, what was it, Florida State and Louisville? Or is it just Louisville?
I think it's both.
I think it is both. Yeah,
and they beat Florida State.
Yeah, they actually
by
yes
30.
They beat Louisville in a close contest, 45-42, and in Louisville, and then beat Florida State at home, 35-3.
This is a very good Boston College team this year, and with more on that, we have got a great guest for you guys this week, Michael Sullivan, current editor in chief of BC Heights, the student newspaper at Boston College, a former sports editor there. And currently covers Boston College for Yahoo Sports Football Rival Series. He's going to join us here to talk about the Pack's opponent this week. So without further ado, we're going to go to Michael via phone. Guys, we are here with Michael Sullivan, editor-in-chief of BC Heights, to talk a little Pack Eagles today. How are you doing today, Michael?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Great to have you on the show. I will just launch right into it here. This is a Boston College team that has really had a breakout year, won several games in a row, really kind of outperformed expectations, played better than normal. What have you kind of seen from the Eagles that's allowed them to have such a good year?
Yeah, well, the big change comes 3 weeks ago, right before the Louisville game, where Steve Adazio made two switches. Head coach Steve Adazio, first, he gave up play calling to offensive coordinator Scott Leffler. He's always let Leffler call plays here and there, but now Leffler is the primary play caller. And second, he switched from running back Jonathan Hilleman, who's a redshirt junior, and he's been around the program for quite some time. He switched to true freshman A.J. Dillon, who was a four-star recruit that they flipped from Michigan, and that's really made the difference. Dillon is able to exploit the holes that this young offensive line has been building for them in a way that Hilleman simply was not able to do so. He rushed for over 250 yards against Louisville, and then in the last two games against Florida State, he had about 150 yards, and against Virginia, longer touchdowns that were scored by freshman quarterback Anthony Brown. Brown has come into his own. He has been efficient over the last couple of weeks in terms of, you know, if he's making throwing incompletions, he's keeping the ball away from defenders, something he wasn't doing in the first several games of the year. And the offensive line has started to gel a little bit better. They had to go to a true freshman, Ben Vitrula, who played tackle in high school in the second week because their senior, John Baker, went down with a torn ACL, and Vitrula has now developed into his own. So, you know, Adazio has been preaching this five-year plan, and now some of the freshmen are panning out, and, you know, he's been willing to give up the play calling and give it over to Leffler, and that's really made a big difference.
So I think it's pretty obvious that Boston College has a solid defense. Coming into the season, everyone expected that Boston College was going to have a top-tier defense in the ACC. Of course, I mean, I wouldn't say near, you know, the likes of Clemson, of course, you know, college football playoff contender. But I think one of the surprises has been the offense. And I was wondering, what do you think have been some of the keys or maybe even some of the surprises on the offensive side of the ball this year?
Yeah, well, Dillon, I mean, it all starts with Dillon. We knew that he would be a great running back. I don't think that anyone anticipated he would contribute to the level that he has early on. Brown was always expected to be kind of the answer in the Adazio's recruits, and he certainly hasn't disappointed in his first couple of in his first several starts. The wide receivers it has kind of taken a while to heat up. I think that's no surprise there. There was a pretty big expectation that with no seniors leaving, and just a full year of starters coming back in the wide receiver and tight end core, that they would make that jump. They haven't made the jump to the extent that I thought they would, but they've been solid enough to give Brown some confidence. But I think the offensive line has probably been the biggest surprise. We knew that the right side with Chris Lindstrom was going to be good. I think he's an All-American type candidate. But the left side with Aaron Montero and Sam Schmall are two guys who have started the last couple of years and really have not performed, and this year both of them made a big jump.
You know, Nick mentioned that Boston College defense, and, you know, we've seen our own, you know, top-tier NFL draft prospect pass rusher this year in Bradley Chubb. You guys have got another one in Harold Landry. What is that defense led by him been like this year?
Landry's actually been hurt a lot of the year. He hasn't played during this stretch. The defense has really been led by its secondary. Isaac Yiadom, Will Harris, Lucas Dennis, who's still the ACC's leader in interceptions, and Cameron Moore are all the guys that it's a veteran unit that really shuts down the pass. The defensive line has gotten pressure. Like, when Landry was healthier earlier in the year, but also with Zach Allen and Wyatt Ray on that line, they're really able to contain pocket pass quarterbacks, at least guys who make their primary motions in the throw game, something that they weren't able to do against running type quarterbacks. So that's, you know, it really comes from the strength of the secondary and how that unit has grown this year.
We've talked a lot about kind of those players that have shined for BC during this stretch and getting a lot of attention. Who's maybe a guy that NC State fans haven't heard of, aren't going to have on their minds going into this one, but that they should and is going to make a big impact on this game?
I think linebacker John Lamont is probably a guy who would do that. Lamont is a young player who had to come in when two of BC's starting linebackers, Max Richardson and Connor Strahan, went down with injuries. Lamont has only played in the last six games in the last four or so that he started. But he's a freshman who has really got a good lateral movement. He's good at chasing people down in pass coverage. He's got an interception, a parent touchdown already. He's got a sack. So I think he's someone that doesn't really get the name recognition of a Zach Allen or a Harold Landry, but someone definitely you need to watch out for.
Now, kind of talking about the NC State front now, of course, we've seen Ryan Finley. He's emerged as a top ACC quarterback. Of course, Bradley Chubb, an arguably, possibly defensive player of the year candidate. Jalen Samuels, an all-purpose back. But within the NC State parameters, what do you think the pack has to do to really go up north to Boston College and really play a tough game? And I think, in my opinion, that Boston College is no easy layup. But what do you think NC State has to do to get back on the winning side of things?
Sure. Well, I mean, first things first, Dave Doran has to coach a really tight game. I think that last year, I don't necessarily think that BC outplayed North Carolina State, but I do think Adazio outcoached Doran in that game. Just really did not seem like he had a good game plan going up against the Boston College offense that was a lot worse than his last year. This is not, I have to emphasize, like, this is not the same Boston College offense that NC State has seen over the last couple of years. I think that as great as Ryan Finley's been, this is the type of defense that this is the type of quarterback that BC thrives against. And I know Ryan can make plays with his legs. He's got those 94 rushing yards on the season, but you have to be the level of a runner like a Lamar Jackson, or even like a Brandon Wimbush of Notre Dame. Even John Wolford was able to run all over over BC. Like that's the kind of runner that gives BC fits. I think if they really hammer home the run game with Nyheim Hines and Reggie Gillespie, then that's the key. You have to pound them with the running game, especially if Harold Landry isn't going to play. They're going to be weaker up front. Do not attack through the air as your primary focus, because the secondary has been so good this year. You have to control the running game and make sure you control the pace of the game.
You know, I think you're totally right about Nyheim Hines. He's that guy that's been out, basically out the past 2 weeks, of course, missing against missing the majority of the game against Notre Dame due to an ankle injury, and clearly not 100% against Clemson. But I think you hit the nail on the head. That running game is going to be key. But yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't know that much about the Boston College secondary, but you think Ryan Finley is going to have to either run the ball or just the run game is going to have to come to play?
Definitely, without question. I mean, he'll get with a player that's as good as him, he will be able to get his 200 yards out of there probably pretty easily, just based on his talent alone. But I wouldn't expect too much more the way that BC plays defense.
So based on all of that you've kind of talked about with the keys to this game and the strengths and weaknesses for both teams, what is your final score prediction for this game?
Well, I expect about a 23-20 NC State win. I do think that BC is vastly improved, and I definitely don't think there's any excuse left for BC against top-tier opponents. That being said, they have not really played good teams the last 2 weeks. They still got lit up by Louisville's offense and their defense and just barely squeaked away against one of the worst defenses I've seen since covering ACC football. That Virginia team is not very good and has only played weak opponents. And Florida State, we all know the story about Florida State this year. We'll see what happens when they make the jump to a good team like an NC State. We saw what happened against Clemson with BC, where BC was able to keep it close for three quarters. Up in the fourth quarter, completely collapsed. I don't expect a collapse anymore out of this team. They just gel more. But I would expect a three-point loss, 23-20 NC State.
Kind of refreshing to hear NC State mentioned as the best opponent in that stretch when you've got teams like Florida State and Louisville in there. That is, I think, pretty much all we have for you, Michael. Thank you so much for coming on here and volunteering your time for us today.
No problem. Pleasure to have me.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, that was great, Nick. Great to have a guy on here from the opposing side who really knows what he's talking about when it comes to NC State's opponent this week.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things that we do here on First in Tech. It's trying to get these good interviews. We've had Joe Ovius on the show. We've had Corey Smith a couple times. And I think these guys have a lot of great analysis, you know, back in their noggins. And especially, I love how we not only do it here on First in Tech, but also a technician trying to interview those guys from the opposing schools and get their take on it. Because, you know, if we're the experts for NC State football, they're probably the experts for the opposing teams.
Yeah, definitely hearing from the opposing side is something that I like, which we've heard the prediction for this one from the opposing side. Now I would like to hear your prediction, Nick.
Yeah, and I've said it once and I'll say it again. I think this is Dave Doran's toughest game for him to coach this year. I think that this is no easy layup against Boston College. I think this is the hardest game out of the remaining three for NC State. I think Ryan Finley is going to have to kind of bounce back in this one because he's thrown three picks in two games. And while, in my opinion, I think two of those aren't really his fault, of course, the Notre Dame one where he thinks he has the free play, and the one in the end, he doesn't want to die with the ball in his hands, I understand, against Clemson. But I think while he has been a good quarterback for NC State, I think he really has to elevate his game against Boston College. And it is important, as Michael Sullivan said, that NC State has a running game. And Nyheim Hines, he's got to come back and he's got to run the show. Jalen Samuels and Reggie Gillespie, while they're good alternatives, they're no Nyheim Hines. So I'm going to go with a similar score on this. Hopefully it doesn't come down to kicking, like Sullivan's saying. But I'm going to go NC State 35, Boston College 28.
I'm also going to go with a one touchdown win for the Pack. I think hopefully these past 2 weeks will have given Nyheim Hines the time he needs to get back to 100%, come back and re-add that kind of breakaway speed element to that Wolfpack backfield. I think the Pack can move the ball on the ground enough. I think Finley's going to have a bounce-back game. That BC secondary is talented. I bet you they haven't faced a Kelvin Harmon this year.
No. They have not, and I have not faced anyone from the wide receiving corps for NC State. And one thing I forgot to mention is, you want to see, if you're an NC State fan, you want to see this rush defense step up. You mentioned in your Good, Bad, Ugly this past week that what has just been bad was the rush defense. And going into the Notre Dame game, you said they were sixth, and now they're 31st, allowing over 300 yards to Notre Dame and allowing over 200 yards to Clemson. So that formidable defensive front has got to step up in this one, If they step up, I think this game could go. This could be a blowout, in my opinion. I think it really comes up to the defense to decide how much NC State wants to win by.
Yeah, definitely need senior defensive tackle Justin Jones back healthy for that. And again, you mentioned them getting gashed by Notre Dame and Clemson both games too. They allow a home run, touchdown run that really kind of puts them out of the game. I think that's another area of their game. In addition to what I just mentioned with the offense, it'll be better this week. They'll lock it down a little bit better on defense. I like NC State 27, Boston College 20 in this one. NC State gets back on the winning track. And
two field goals for Carson Wise? Or is it Kyle Bambard?
Kyle Bambard has reclaimed his job as the starting place kicker for the NC State Wolfpack after being put back in that second half against Clemson.
How many how long are those field goals he's making, those two? Are they 50 plus?
I'm gonna go with a 33-yarder, and
ooh,
then Kyle Bambard comes in and drills a 45-yarder right down the middle.
That might be the hottest take of this episode.
Definitely one of the hotter takes we've had in a while. And on that note, I think that is pretty much all we've got for you guys this week. We will be back next week to talk more football, maybe a little basketball as well.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your guest on today's episode, assistant sports editor Nick Sinopoli.
And we are done for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone.